This is Chris from Dice Hate Me, and I'm on the floor at Origins 2011 with Randall Bills, developer and designer of Leviathans from Catalyst Game Labs.
Good to be here, and glad to be talking with you.
Thank you. So about Leviathans, I'm a huge like Zeppelin freak and love steampunk. And I know a lot of my readership does as well. Just tell us a little bit about Leviathans and the development you went through to make it happen.
Well, it actually, like 2-3.5 years ago now, I think, John Hayward, who's been a BattleTech volunteer for a couple years, came to us with a concept, and it was like a one-page proposal, and he had taken some art that was actually from another computer game that he had just found online that said, wow, this is kind of the vision, and paired that with a one-page introduction. And then he'd actually done a whole game design with and everything else, but that one page and that one image just sold the concept on us. Yeah. Now, obviously, we couldn't use that image, but it was close enough that it gave us a taste of what Leviathans might eventually become.
Right.
We did look at the design, and while the design was really nice, it just wasn't something that we felt, it felt a little too dated. It might have been something that came out in the late 80s or early 90s, and so we felt we wanted to do something a little more accessible, a little more exciting and new. And so, you know, we kind of took the rules and wadded them up and threw them in a corner, and then started fully developing a brand new game system while pairing up with Doug Chafee, who's magnificent artist, to help start doing the concept work.
Yeah.
And Doug Chafee, he has a long, long history in naval art. There's admirals that own his artwork. You know, it's pretty impressive. And so he had the chops to be able to kind of keep us grounded in, you know, real world Navy while allowing me to constantly be kicking, you know, hey, can we make it a little more this, or we can make it a little more that.
Right.
One of the things that we tried really hard with Leviathans, particularly with the visuals, is there's a lot of games that take the visuals and they just run off in really far left and right and up and down directions. And that's fine, that's great. You know, it kind of reminds me of like the last Exile anime. There's some really brilliant looking stuff in there. But we felt that we hadn't really seen somebody put together a game and a universe that was more kind of pure Edwardian science fiction.
Yeah.
That was fairly true to the look of that period, but just tweaked it a little bit here and there. And so for those of your readership that read Harry Turtledove, he's like the master of alternate history.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons why he does it so well, in my opinion, is that he changes just one pivotal thing, and then he tries to be as realistic as possible about, and here's how the world would develop with just that one change.
Right, right.
And so there were quite a few times where we were veering off left to right, and as a collective whole, we would kind of pull ourselves back in and go, no, I don't think it would actually have developed that way. I think it would have developed like this. Now, obviously, there were some concessions where we're like, you know what, we're telling a story here. We have to be able to develop this story and have it be exciting. So sometimes you do have to make concessions there. Sometimes with the visuals, we're like, okay, are they actually going to be able to create a model that mirrors the craziness that we're doing?
Right, right.
And the studio that we're working with actually had to create some brand new tooling techniques to be able to create some of the details because of how crazy some of it was.
The models are amazing, and the detail on it is fantastic. I mean, with Games Workshop, the things they've done with plastics right now has been incredible. Your models rival or beat them. I mean, the detail is fantastic, and they are all plastic. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. All the miniatures in the box set is high impact polystyrene (HIPS), which is what Games Workshop uses. It's pretty much a war machine. Anyone that's doing really high quality plastics, that's the type they're using. And yeah, I don't quite understand all of it. I would love to go over to China and actually sit for a couple of hours on their floor to see how it's done.
Right.
But they have this brand new technique of these crazy molds that they're using that allow them to create the level of detail that we have on there.
That's awesome. As far as the rule system, most of the people who listen to our podcast or read Dice Hate Me, they're traditional board gamers, but a lot of them have either been, you know, expat miniature gamers like me, you know, who have experience. But for people who are more just traditional board gamers, do you think this game will be accessible to them, the rule system, or is it a little more complex than what they're used to?
I'm hoping that it's accessible. When I first started developing the rules, I'm the same thing. I've been playing board games and war games far longer than I care to admit. And the initial system was very much 2d10 against a target number with pages of modifiers.
Right.
And one of the things that started to dawn on me as the images were coming in, and I realized, you know, it's funny, you have a lot of people that'll walk by, just a side tangent for a moment, that'll walk by and be like, oh, you're, you know, hopping on the steampunk wagon. And I'm like, well, we actually started developing this like 3.5 years ago when a lot of people hadn't even heard of it yet. And we realized this was coming and we wanted to be a part of it. But a lot of that crowd are not that hardcore gamers. And so we wanted to make sure that if somebody's walking by and they're just suddenly pulled right to check the minis out, and we've seen it endlessly, like the 2 years ago at Gen Con when we had the very first peek at what the minis might look like. I remember even women stopping by and just sitting there and staring at it, which, you know, is almost unheard of in tabletop miniature gaming.
Right, right.
Unless
there's elves involved.
Well, unless there's elves involved, exactly. So I got thinking to myself, you know what, this is far too intimidating. So we kept playtesting, and I kept banging on different ideas. How can we do this different? And to be honest, it's so long ago, I don't exactly remember what the epiphany moment was. But it suddenly dawned on me that the combination of bell curves from polyhedral dice can mimic all the modifiers that you would normally have within a game.
Right.
So you can take all the modifiers you got out there and hide them down into the mechanics so that somebody who isn't really a gamer doesn't have to worry about any of those type of mechanics, but they're still all in there. Because if you had taken them all out, you wouldn't have a game. There'd be no tactics.
Right.
There'd be no reason to move or try to get in a better position. You're all just sitting there firing. That's boring. No one's ever going to play my game again.
Yes.
So you had to keep all of that in there. For those that have seen monstersinthesky.com or the photos that we put up in there, all the dice are D12s in shape, but in reality they're just polyhedral dice. So the green dice is a D4, the blue dice is a D6, yellow dice is a D8, the red is a D10, and then the black is a D12.
Right.
And the reason I went with all one shape is twofold. One, you know, to be honest, it's just cheaper
right.
to do one mold.
Right.
But two, again, getting back to that, if you're not that much of a gamer, then there's a chance that the different shaped dice, you may never have seen them, and then you might get hung up on that. Well, why is this shaped like this, or why is this shaped like that?
Right.
As opposed to, if you're a hardcore gamer, I explain it to you once, and you're like, oh, I got it. I don't need to worry about
it. Exactly. Yeah.
So this way, it's all color-coded. You're looking at your ship card. It's got the colored circle. All they got to do is reach for that colored dice. They're rolling dice. They're having a good time. So, but at the same time, I also don't want those who might be listening to think, well, is it too simple? I tried very hard to build it up in stages so that the quick start rules are absolutely simple, easy to get into. But then we have the commander's manual, which is the full rules that you'll get in the core box set when it's released. And that has many, many additional rules that add in a whole new tactics of play, screenings, aerial torpedoes, ramming, repairs. There's a lot in there. And then we have another product under development. We originally were trying to get in the core box set, but production finally came back to me and said, I've got to start trimming stuff out of this because there's just too much in it.
Yeah.
And so we have a product called the Captain's Box Set that'll come out down the line that has the Captain's Manual in that, and that has a whole other level of enhanced scenario rules from wind and weather, visibility, crew abilities, all the way to the all-important elevation rules that'll appear in there. And we tried really hard to make those so that they're plug and play.
Right.
So a lot of games, they'll come out with an advanced rule book, but you have to take whole sections of it at a time, or else they don't quite balance out. Whereas
right.
we tried to make it so that every time somebody sits down, they can go, I'm going to do the win this game. And then they do it. And next time they're like, well, I'm going to put cloud templates on. Or the next time I'm like, oh, I'm going to do, you know, critical gun battery failure rule.
Right.
And so there's a lot of flexibility that allows each group to do, you know, whatever they want and what they enjoy to do.
So none of of the advanced rules, if they're taken out, will harm the base system at all. People can play with the base set and then add on what they want to try to build up to that, or just play the base set, and it's completely enjoyable otherwise, right?
Absolutely. For those who might know me and have been following me, I've been doing BattleTech for, again, far longer than I ever care to admit. Yeah. And over the last 4 or 5 years, we've been working on the new, Origins Award-winning line of rule books, and the depth of play that I tried to put in there, the style of the whole kitchen sink, really was kind of a training ground of how do I do this massive book of all these rules and try to make those plug and play.
Right.
And that kind of was allowed me to cut my teeth on that. So then as I'm working on Leviathans, it's not nearly as complex as BattleTech, not even remotely close. But it still allowed me to have that mentality of, okay, here's how you design various rules that you can just pick and play each time without harming either the core rules or without having to take 5 or 6 at a time.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. I mean, I'm really excited about the system. I've read through the rulebook once. This, to me, as an ex-miniatures wargamer, I just can't get into like buying thousands of miniatures and taking all that time to paint, but having a manageable fleet, what would be, how many miniatures would you need to have a manageable fleet to have a good game?
Well, the core box set has 8 ships in it. There's a battleship, light cruiser, and 2 destroyers for the British and for the French. And that experience right there is great. I've played dozens and dozens of that game by now. In fact, I've played so many times that often my son, who loves Leviathans, who's been really instrumental a lot in a lot of some of the game decisions, almost doesn't want to play anymore because he's like, oh, it's the same ship. So I'm like, no, we got to keep at it. You know, right. We got to make sure it works.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of people always are like, how long does it take? And you can do the quick start rules are 2 ships on a side, a destroyer and a light cruiser. And after 2 or 3 games, you can play that in like 30 minutes flat, no problem. The full experience of the game with the 8 miniatures, so 4 on a side. Again, get 2 or 3 games under your belt so you understand some of the battleship rules and the aerial torpedoes. And again, that's a 90-120 minute game tops.
Okay.
At the same time, when the core box set releases, we'll also be releasing 2 fleet boxes. So you have the British fleet box and the French fleet box. Those will have the ships, the exact same ships that are in the core box set, but they'll have their own unique ship cards. So somebody can buy the core box set and then instantly double their fleet.
Yeah.
I've played twice now, I think. I've played 20 plus ships on the board. Actually, I think it was 22. It's every ship card that we had.
Wow.
And I played it, went through almost the entire game in one long Saturday afternoon and into the evening.
Yeah.
So it scales really well. You still get that feel of movement. You get the tactics of, it's got all that wonderful naval feel of crossing the T and trying to get into that stern, protecting your destroyer so they can try to flank around and get in the stern of those battleships, take their movement down. It's got all that wonderful, wonderful tactics in there.
Sounds awesome. And as a military history buff, just taking this into the, like you said, the Edwardian sci-fi, it's a brilliant concept, and I can't wait. And exactly when do you think the release date is scheduled for right now?
Well, we don't have a specific street date. Everyone keeps asking for that, and we've learned from long experience that until it's on our soil, and even better, until it's in our warehouse, you just can't say that.
Right.
Literally, files are uploading at the convention. Like I said earlier, I was up to like 3 a.m. reviewing last proof so that Matt can upload it in the morning. So the trigger has been pulled. We hope to have box sets at Gen Con for sale.
Oh, wow.
And then we're saying late summer, early fall for when it'll actually be available in stores.
That's fantastic.
When we have a street date and when we can start pre-ordering, I'll be yelling it as loud as I possibly can, posting it, Twitter, doing everything I can to get that out there.
Well, we'll be listening, and I appreciate it. Again, this was Randall Bills, designer and developer of Leviathans. And what's your official title for Catalyst?
Managing developer.
Managing developer.
I try to make the trains run on time. So.
Well, awesome. Well, good luck to you, and I appreciate the interview.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right.